Morning, I want to turn with us over in Exodus, the 16th chapter. Exodus, the 16th chapter. Title of what we're talking about this morning is Stink in the Church. Stink in the Church. I had about three titles. I settled on this one. I said the first one was Don't Be Stinking in the Church. The next one was Don't Be a Stinking Christian. Let's settle on this one, Stink in the Church. Exodus, the 16th chapter, verse number 14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. They didn't know what it was. I'll tell you the meaning of manna in a little bit. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord, everybody say a word with me, commanded. Now this is what the Lord commands here. It's a commandment of God. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. They had more, some had more in their house than others. And when they did meet it with an omer, they had gathered much, had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Verse 19, listen to what it says. And Moses said, let no man leave it till when? Morning. Verse 20. Remember now, this is a commandment of the Lord, spoken by Moses. It wasn't Moses' commandment, it's God's commandment, spoken by man. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, the man of God. But some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. Teach us this morning from this simple story, an example in your word. Father, help us to draw from these scriptures that each one of us needs spiritually to know today. And Father, that we would all, by your great power, simultaneously receive the message that we need to hear. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Ever notice how, I was at a wild game dinner last night, and I think everyone that prayed just about last night, I don't know if I'm, it just might be me, but they get through to the end of the prayer and they say, "In your name we pray." Well, they're afraid to say Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In your name. Like, I don't want to call it, but you know your name. In your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Right? That didn't cost you nothing. That was just a little extra. Ever wonder sometimes why the church gets a stinking? Have you ever wondered that? Amen. Well, the church ever wonder why sometimes it gets a little stink in the church? Something that's offensive? It's because that people begin to lust in themselves. Amen. It's not what's best for the church, but they lust in themselves what's best for me. That's what these people did. They didn't say what's best for what God wants and what's best for what Moses instructing and from the word of God wants, but what I want. And what happened, it began to bred worms and it began to stink. And that's what happens a lot of times in people's lives, that they begin to lust after things of the world rather than what God wants or what's best for the church is what's best for me. Amen. So we need to be on a different think pattern, not what's best for me, but what's best for the church or what's best for God. Amen. That's what we need to be. A stink is offensive. Amen. It's, when something stinks and smells bad, it's offensive to your smelling organs. And so sometimes in the church, things that are offensive, and you say, where do offenses come from? James in the 4th chapter talks about wars and strifes, and it says it comes from your own lust. People has their own lust rather than the things of lusting after the things of God. They're lusting after the things of the world, and it brings a stink into the church. Amen. Here we see the story, and everybody's familiar with the story of the time when Israel is out there in the wilderness and they had no bread, and God knew he had to feed them. So they woke up in the morning and there's this little white wafers laying all over the ground. And they said, "It's manna." Now, what is it? That's what manna means. What's that? And the Lord instructed Moses and told him, said, to gather what you're going to eat in that day and gather no more. And on the sixth day, we know that they gathered 2 days' worth because they're not to work on the Sabbath day, the seventh day. But some of them gathered more than what they could eat. In other words, they took in more, or rather they didn't use up what they obtained. What they gathered, they did not use up. And the Bible said because they didn't use it up and it lasted till tomorrow, because they didn't eat it in what it's called today, that it began to breed worms and it began to stink. Amen. That's what happens in the church world when people are sitting on their calling and not doing what God has called them to do. They begin to bring an odor into the church. When they begin to rebel against what God would have them to become in their life, and they go contrary to what God would have them to be, they begin to get an odor about them. Amen. And they begin to stink. The stink means to, this word stink in Exodus, the 20th verse here, it means to smell bad. It means to be offensive morally. If you look up the meaning in the Hebrew, it means to be offensive morally. Remember, in the Old Testament, it's flesh, New Testament, spirit. When we bring it over here, it's spiritual. We don't know the spiritual sense. Remember, and Jesus was talking with the disciples in Matthew's gospel, the 16th chapter, and he says that he's telling them about what God's will for his life is. Jesus is saying the will for God from me is that I've come to lay down my life, and they're going to take me and they're going to crucify me. They're going to kill me for the sin of mankind. And Peter began to look at him and rebuke him and said, no, far this be from me, from you to do that, you know? In other words, no, Jesus, you don't. It's like people today in the church world, when you begin to talk to them about a lifestyle of separated from the world, and they'll look you straight in the eye and say, no, you don't have to live that way. And that's what Peter was in Jesus' face and tell him, said, far be that from you. You don't have to do that. And Jesus looked at him and he rebuked him and he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. You're bringing a stink in my presence. You're beginning to stink with that kind of talk, Peter. You're stinking. An offense. You're an offense to me. You're stinking. Because you savor not the things which be of God, but you savor the things which be of man. You're about what's pleasing to flesh rather than what's pleasing to put a spirit. You're about what you can get of the world rather than how you can please God. Come on. Are you with me? See, when people come into the church, I want them to smell that sweet aroma of the presence of the Lord. Huh? The sweetness of God. Offense means a trap stick. He said to Peter, you're an offense to me. You're a trap stick. It's like a bent sapling. That someone has bent a sapling down and got a snare that when someone trips at it, comes up and pops them. And that's what so many people are. In the church world, they're an offense. They're a stumbling block. That when somebody is trying, they pop up in their way and say, no, you don't have to live that way. You can live like me and still go to heaven. No, you can't. Offense means occasion to fall. Jesus telling Peter, your occasion to fall, for me to fall from what God caused me to lose my vision. You're a stumbling block because you don't savor the things of God. You savor the things of man. That's what people do. When they look at you in the eye and say, well, you don't have to live that way. You know why? Because you don't savor the things of God. You're savoring the things of man. That's what they looked at Moses. It was a commandment of God. Moses was just a messenger. He's the mailman. And he's telling them how not to get worms in your food and how not to stink. And the people, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. I know none of y'all never do that with me. Y'all hearken diligently. Amen. What did he say about this manna? This manna, he said, you got to use it up. Look at the one next to you and say, you got to use it up. Else it's going to stink. Leave none to tomorrow, he said. One of the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray like you pray. And he starts it off. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he said, give us, Lord, what? Our daily manna, our daily bread. And you know what the Lord is saying? When I give you the daily bread, you better use it up. Because if you don't use it up, when tomorrow comes, you're going to be stinking. In other words, if you don't do what I've asked you to do today, when tomorrow comes, you're going to be a stinking Christian and you're going to be stinking the church up. How many is leaving yesterday's work over to try to do it today? Well, let me tell you, whatever God has called you today, it's going to be effective today, but it will not be effective like it could be today if you do it now. If you'll hasten His word to perform it. Oh, we want God to hasten His word to perform it in our lives, but when, you know, He asks us to do something, we kind of like take our time. You know why? Because we don't believe it's important. And people slide into hell. He said, give us, Lord, our daily bread. I wonder this morning in this room, How many of us have leftover bread? Come on. From this week. Things that we're supposed to have done this week that we didn't do. And so we come into church on a Sunday morning and we wonder why the services stink. Come on, church. Y'all awful quiet this morning. Don't make me come. I'll come down there. I see some of you fanning. I've just turned the fan on. How about that? You get too warm, you could be going to sleep. Now I've come down right beside you preaching. I do like one preacher on TV I saw one time when he saw one dozing. He said, everybody stand up and praise the Lord. Just stand up. All right. I hadn't seen nobody doze yet. Oh, help us, Lord. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. I looked up that word in the Greek, in the New Testament, daily bread, and it means to lift up. Give us, Lord, our daily getting us up out of our comfort zone. Give us, Lord, our daily, our daily commission. Give us, Lord, our daily instructions to get us up out of ourselves over into the will of God. It also means to take up. It reminded me in the Bible where Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, daily and follow me. He said that the ones that would not take up their cross daily and follow me said, you cannot be my disciple. Why? Because you'll be stinking and I don't want stink around me. Remember what he said to Peter? You're an offense. You'll stink to me. Get thee behind me. Whenever something's stinking, don't you want to put it behind you? You don't want to follow something in stinking, do you? I mean, you get behind a manure truck. Let me just follow this manure truck around all day. Mm-hmm. No, you going down the road, you say, oh, Lord, help me get around this truck. Woo! Woo! Get on around it, don't you? You want to put it behind you? How many people's following stinking Christians? Stinking preachers. Help us, Lord. Look at the one next to you. Say, you got to use it up. Don't procrastinate. Just look at him back and say, quit procrastinating. You know what procrastinate means? It means put off something today that, until tomorrow. That's what it means. Be a doer of the word. A doer of the work. Amen. Don't use it up. You need to use it up. James in the first chapter, verse 25, it says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the, what's that word? Work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. A doer of the work. Not just a hearer, not just a eater of the word, but a doer of the work. Amen. What is manna? The meaning of manna in the Hebrew is a whatness. You look it up. It means a whatness. In other words, it come out and said, what is that? What is it? What? What? It's our daily bread. Our daily what? Our daily why, what, or purpose. Our daily purpose. Amen. He said in Romans 8 and 28, he said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. Are you, listen to me, are you living, are you walking according to God's purpose, or is it yours? Are you walking and living according to God's purpose, or his will, or according to yours? What is it today? What was it yesterday? What was it all last week? Amen. He said in Mark's gospel in the 13th chapter, gets down there, I think, I don't know if she's got it, verse 34. Yes, she got it. It said, for the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man. Every man what? Every man. Not just the pastor, not just the Sister Connie, not just the Sunday school teachers, but every man. His work and commanded the porter, the angels to watch. Amen. Gave every man, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. We're the church. We're the ambassadors. We're the what's running the kingdom down here. And he says, he's gave every man his work, his daily work, his chores. He said, use up what you have been commissioned to do, your purpose for today. Remember the book of Ruth and how Ruth went out there in the field and Boaz has commanded to, see, at that time the poor, the corners of the field were left for the poor. By the commandment of the law, when they would go out and clean the wheat in, they wouldn't do the corners that was left, and whatever fell on the ground, that was for the gleaners, the poor. And when the field was finished with the harvesters, then the gleaners could go out there and get the crumbs. But I like what Boaz said. He looked out on Ruth. And he looked out there and saw old Sister Ruth out there. And he liked the way she was living. And what did he say? He commanded the ones getting the harvest. And every once in a while, drop a little handful of purpose down there. Amen. And you get it. Just reach in and get a handful and drop it down there. And old Ruth came along. And what did she do? She looked and she got her daily portion. Her daily purpose. Amen. And she took it in. That's the way it is in God's kingdom. Amen. If we'll use up what we're supposed to do in that day. When tomorrow comes, he'll give us another handful of purpose, something that will sustain us, work to do. But if we don't do it, it's only going to bread worms and we're going to begin to stink. And why give it to us? You see, people are starving spiritually because they're not getting their handful of purpose. They're starving because they're not using up what God has blessed them with, the talents and the callings. And they're starving spiritually and they're beginning to stink. Amen. You see, the church world is hearing, hearing, hearing. And they've heard it. They're so full of hearing. And they hear it, but they don't act on it. They're not doers of the word. Amen. They don't use it up. I know enough of the word of God goes across this pulpit here. Listen, you go to some churches, you might hear one or two scriptures. This church has always loaded you with the word. Amen. And commissions. I believe the word of God comes from here. Don't matter if I'm here or Sister Connie's here or Brother Mike or Brother Brandon or whoever else is up here speaking. The word of God is coming. And challenging us, getting our daily portion, our daily instructions to go and to do. That's what we do. We come in here to get our marching orders for the week. We come on Wednesday night after we've, you know, been out there really going and doing, and we come back in. It's kind of like the old clothesline, and maybe the weight of the world is kind of, you know, you're putting it out. You know, every time that you minister, it goes out of you, right? Huh? Did it not run out of Jesus when that woman touched him? Virtue went out. We come on Wednesday night and we get that old clothesline. When it's kind of waiting down, we get that old long pole, put it up in the middle. Amen. And then we can hang more clothes the rest of the way. But we've heard it in America. We've got so much of the word. We've heard it, not acted on it, that the church world has become constipated. Constipated. Everybody say constipated. Look at the one next to you and say, have you ever been constipated? So it kind of said it's disgusting. It's a reality, friends. Everything that affects you in the flesh can affect you in the spirit. You can be fleshly constipated and you can be spiritually constipated. Amen. The word may be going out. The word is going out. Let me rephrase that. The word is going out. But the people are constipated. What is constipation? Constipation is a sluggish condition of the bowel. You know the way the body works? When you eat something, it goes in your stomach and the acid in your stomach breaks it all down. It don't take any nutrients out. It just breaks it all down. It gets it ready for your bowel. and it goes in your bowel, and your bowel is abstracting all the nutrients that keeps you alive. Amen. It begins to work and get the nutrients out of it. It gets everything. It uses up everything that you eat. It uses every bit of the nutrients out of it. Then it sends the dung out, whatever is no good, out of your body. Amen. The word may be going out, and it is going out, but people are constipated. They're gospel hardened, if you will. They're gospel hardened. They're locked up spiritually. Let me tell you, constipation can kill you physically. You get so backed up physically, you can die from constipation. And it's the same way, my friend, you can spiritually die from spiritual constipation, where you're not using up what you're getting, and you're just backing up, and you're getting overflowed with it. And the same word that was sent to you to bring you life will bring you death. The very food you eat physically to give you life can kill you, because you don't use it up. A sluggish condition. When you get spiritually sluggish on God. I know none of us in this room has ever been sluggish spiritually, because we're all on fire in here. My God, we wake up every morning and say, God, what would you have me to do today? God, you just name it and I'll do it. God, how you want me to live, you just tell me and I'll do it. I don't care. Lord, whatever I got to do to serve you, I'll do it. That's us, ain't it? What's that commandment about lying? Help us, Lord. Constipation can kill you. What do you say in Mark's gospel, the 16th chapter? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Let me tell you, when you hear the word of God and it goes in you and you don't act on the word of God, it brings damnation to you. The very word that brings life will bring damnation. The very same word that you preach can save a man or condemn him to death in the same service. Do you realize the power of the word of God when we don't act on it? Do you really realize the responsibility of hearing the word of God? The same gospel. And a service can save a man or condemn him to death. We're full of manna. It's not used up, and it's breeding worms, and it's causing a stink in the church. How many has ever gone to the store and bought some food? The rest of y'all hadn't. Give me some participation. I had to get up here and sweat and holler and jump around to try to entertain you. How many has ever gone to the store and bought something? Thank you very much. Hard heads. I love you. You know that. Else I wouldn't be your pastor. There's all kind of churches begging me to come. Yeah, right. Let me repent from that one. I'm sorry. That's just a joke. Some of y'all fell out of the pew laughing. How many again went to the store and bought something? On them packages, have you ever noticed a little date on there? Y'all have? What does that mean? Huh. So if y'all have on there and it's got a date of July the 25th, 1951, that's when I was born, would y'all just say, well, let's eat this? What about if it said July the 25th, 2000? Would you eat it? What about if it said July 25th, 2008? Y'all wouldn't use it? Why? Why? Why wouldn't you use it? It's probably stinking. Well, then why in the world do we think we can try to live on God on an old experience with God back down there somewhere way back there, and we tried to do the work of God because we got something way back there and we need a fresh experience with God. Come on. We got to use up today. We throw it out, don't we? But we expect God to keep us. You see, you got to eat it before that date. You got to use it up before that date or it goes bad. We can understand that fully, but we don't understand the Word of God. Well, Brother David, if I eat it, it might make me, my little stomach sick. Well, bless your little stomach. What if you don't do what God has called you? What's it going to do to your soul? Your soul, man, your soul that's going to live forever. That stomach's going to rot in the dust and the dirt. But your soul is going to live forever somewhere. You see, the work of God has an expiration date also. How many believes that? You don't have to raise your hand. Let me tell you, the call of God has an expiration date. I wonder, maybe I should put a question. Does the work of God have an expiration date? Or does the call of God have an expiration date? The Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. Hebrews in the 3rd chapter, verse 13, he said, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, not tomorrow, not next week, today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John 12:35, Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is light with you. Friend, we've got this little window that we can do a work for God, but this window that we're looking through is going to pass one day. We've got this little window called today. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Isaiah 38:18. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father of the children shall make known thy truth. It's the living. It's while we're living today that we do a work for God. Not tomorrow. I don't know where we'll be tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But bless God, I know who holds tomorrow. And my hope is in him. And my trust is in him. Whether I'm here or I'm there, I'm still in him. And I'm going to continue to do till he comes. Glory. Ecclesiastes 9:10, he said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with some of thy might. Do it with thy might, all of it. That's what he's talking about. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Amen. In other words, we can't do today's work tomorrow. Amen. It could be forever lost. Opportunities could be forever lost. When tomorrow comes, amen, the old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Well, I meant to do that. Every one of us can say that. Huh? At the end of the day, I meant to go talk to them about the Lord. I meant to. I've told you a story before. Someone after service one day, it was a fellow down the street from me, where we used to live, and I see him sitting out there under the shade tree. And I passed by there in a hurry going somewhere. And I just said, Lord said, go talk to that man. Okay, Lord. Another day, go. Another day, go talk to that man. I was in church service and was dismissing. Someone said, there's a lady down in the hospital, and they said that she's dying. Said, could you go by and talk to her about her soul? I said, sure, I'll do that. We left here and went straight to the hospital. No. Had to feel my gut. We went to us a little restaurant. We sat there and eat us a big old meal. I said, well, I believe I'll go down and visit this lady. I walk in the room and she died about 30 minutes earlier. You know what the Lord said? You know that man I've been telling you, trying to get you to go? You better go, boy. What if I could have made a difference in that woman's life? It's not all about me, and it's not all about you. There's people in here that you could reach that I would never be able to reach. And they're out there waiting on you. What about old Elijah upon that old juniper tree? Lord, it's enough. I'm going to die right here. What if he had died there? Elijah, it's not about you, boy. Let me tell you, if he had died under there and never gone on, oh, Elisha that came, the second prophet there after him, all he had known was plowing behind that old ox out there. But thank God that he got out from his selfish ways and got out from under there and said, it's not all about my feelings and about me and what I want. There's other people. There's a couple of kings down there that I got to anoint king over Syria and Israel. There's a man out there plowing that I got to throw my mantle over and I got to call him into the ministry. It's not all about me. Look at the one next to you and say, it's not all about me. Amen. The Bible tells us about a time that God would laugh at our calamity. Because we laugh when he tells us to do a work. We snuff it off. Well, I'll get that sooner or later. I mean, you know, somebody will do it. You look like somebody. I used to say it all the time. Somebody come to me and said, somebody needs to do that. I look up right straight back at him. I said, you look exactly like somebody. Somebody needs to cut that grass. I said, you look exactly like somebody. Somebody needs a. One guy came out, and he's a pastor now. He came out from men's bathroom, and he said, somebody went out and threw a piece of chewing gum in the urinal. Somebody needs to get it out. And he caught himself. He turned back around, went there and got it out because he knew what I was going to say. And you look just like somebody. Let me hurry. Proverbs 1 and 24, he says, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have said it not all my counsel. You snuffed your nose at the man of God. And with none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. And I will mock when your fear cometh. Don't you remember about sowing and reaping, my friend? When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, with distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They would none my counsel. They want none of my counsel. They despise all my reproofs. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Amen. 2 Chronicles 36 and 15, it says, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, by Brother David, by Sister Connie. Come on. Rising up betimes, different times, and sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. How many times has God sent a message for us to get serious about his work? How many times have you heard a voice of God say, hey, quit playing church and be the church? How many times have you heard the voice of God say, listen to my messenger? take him serious. Ooh, help us, Lord. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. You reap what you sow, my friend. Proverbs 29:1, it said, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. No remedy means no cure, no deliverance, no medicine, no healing. You reap what you sow, my friend. Amen. Luke's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verse 16, it says, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they with one consent begin to make what? Excuses. What is an excuse, Brother David? It is a reason wrapped up in a lie. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. What a stupid excuse. Who's going to buy a piece of ground, never seen it before? I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Who's going to buy oxen, never seen them? Pig in a poke. Another said, I have married a wife and I therefore cannot come. Now, that's why Paul said it's better not to marry. But it's better to marry than to burn. What are you saying, Brother David? You ain't supposed to get married? Not if she's going to hinder you from the work of the Lord. You better get it straight with her from the get-go. There's times, lady, I'm going to have to put you second, because God's got to be first all the time. Amen? But now, if you just can't contain yourself and you're lusting, go ahead and get married. Because it'd be better you to marry than to burn in hell. Lusting and adultery and fornication. Amen. That didn't cost you nothing. That's a freebie there. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. And the master of the house being happy. Did that say the Lord was angry? You mean when we make excuses, we don't make God happy? He said he was angry. Go out quickly to the street. In the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, and thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, listen, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. They made excuses. They didn't use it up, but they made excuses. Lord, I can't teach them children, because you know that would take some of my time. And in fact, Lord, I'd have to change my lifestyle. You know, and you know, I like my dainties, Lord. What's is more important, a dainty or a soul? Man. Read the Bible, some of the things that these men went through with. Look at Paul. Look at John. Look at Peter. Look at all these. We with our little puny, putrid excuses. Matthew 11:16, Jesus said, whereunto shall I liken this generation? He said, what can I liken it to? I mean, he said, he's just thinking, trying to think of something. I mean, they was just so, making him so sick. What can I liken them to? He said, I know, I'll just try this one. It is likened to the children sitting in the markets and calling unto the fellows and say, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. And we have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. I, as a preacher of the gospel, I preach goodness of God to you, and you've not danced. I've preached the wrath of God and you've not repented. Come on, church. There's some in this building, even this morning, that I preached the goodness of God and you've not moved. I preached the wrath of God. I preached that we need to repent. What is it going to take? And Lord said, what can I liken you to? What can I do? This is our Lord Jesus here sets forth a parable, yet speaks as if it were at a loss to find a similitude proper to represent them. He said, whereunto shall I liken this generation? There is not a greater absurdity than that which they are guilty of, who have good preaching among them. Do you believe we have good preaching around here? Don't just say it because I'm saying it. If I'm not preaching good, tell me. Tell me. Tell me to go down the road that somebody else can come in and preach you some good preaching. Tell me. Thank you, Gary. Amen. There is not a greater absurdity than that which they are guilty of, who have good preaching among them and are never the better for it. It is hard to say what they are like. The similitude is taken from some common custom among the Jewish children at their play. You know how you used to dress up like mom and daddy? You'd put on daddy's clothes and mama's dresses. Come on, in the high heels. Come on. That's what the church world is doing. They're dressing up and they're playing Christians, but they're not Christians. Imitate the fashions of grown up. At the marriages and the funerals, rejoicing and lamenting. But being all a jest, it made no impression. No more did the ministry either of John the Baptist or Christ upon that generation. Therefore, to humble them, he compares them to children and their behavior as child's play, playing church and playing Christians rather than being. I ask you a question, when are you going to get serious with God? When are you going to get serious about His ways? When are you going to quit playing church and playing a Christian? When are you going to get serious? When are you going to be like Isaiah said in the 6th chapter, said, Lord, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Today could be your last chance. Remember the expiration date? Today could be your last chance. Well, Brother David, I can't come back to church no more. I'm not saying that. Today might be your last chance to get right with God and get serious with God and quit playing. Every one of us in this room knows exactly where we live in. We know. We know if we're putting 100% or 90 or 50 or... We know if we're kicking against the word or against the messenger. We know, we know, we know, we know, we know what we're doing. We're not stupid. We know what we're doing. Maybe the last chance to get serious about God and about His work. Those come to answer us. Luke in the 13th chapter. Is anybody, Sister Casey? Thank you. The 6th verse, it says, this parable, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and he sought fruit thereon and found none. He had a fruit tree. What are we? We're the branches that bear the fruit. He comes and he finds no figs. What's he tell his servant to do? Said to the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit. How many times has the Lord come your way? Said, I want you to do this. How many times has God called you? How many times has God sent a messenger to warn you? How many times has God spoke to you and said, now is the time to get serious? He said, I've come 3 years seeking fruit on this fig and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? The dresser said, answered and said to him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. If not, then after that, cut it down. Thank God for somebody interceding for us. How many times our expiration date was about to run out? You say, Brother Dave, is there a time that you can't get saved? I don't know. I'm not God. I'm just a messenger. But I do know that you can get your heart so hard that you can't feel the call of God. Paul tells Timothy that in the 4th chapter. He said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That means it's hardened, that you have no conscience about God or His ways. You know, it's like, well, that's what a lot of church people, well, I don't feel nothing wrong with doing that. Yeah, you won't. You're hardened. You're callous. Just like me, if I go out there with these little old baby hands I got and grab an old shovel and start shoveling all day long, I'm going to have some calluses up here, some blisters. But if I keep it up, it's blisters rather, not calluses, but blisters. If I keep it up over a period of about a year, I can go out there, pick that shovel up and never put on a pair of gloves. And I don't even feel the splinter of that shovel. It's callous, rough. Our heart gets that way. We come and we hear the word of God. 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 And we hear it and hear it and hear it. And hear it. What did he say? I didn't feel that. I'm where I should be. Everything's fine with me. Thank God that someone intercedes. Maybe someone has interceded on your behalf in this church to get you where you're at even today. Maybe your date has been expired or would have been expired years ago. But someone kept praying, God, Lord, I believe, God, there's something good in them, God. Lord, give them another time, Lord. Work with them, Lord. Help me to work with them, God. Don't make me have to stand over them, God, and say words over them. Unless, God, they're living it. Don't make me struggle at your funeral to find words to comfort your family. Remember Esau in closing. Sold his birthright for a pottage, a little bowl of pottage. He said, boy, I'd never do that. Let me tell you, there's people in the church selling out for far less than a bowl of pottage. Hebrews in the 12th chapter, verse 14, he said, follow peace with all men and holiness. Brother David, is there an expiration date? You just listen. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up in you, up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You begin to stink, causes others to be obnoxious in their smelling. Lest there be any fornicate. Let me tell you about smell. We have some sulfur in our water at the house. And I've got a carbon filter on there and it needs changing right now. If I'm in the house and Sister Connie gets in the shower ahead of me, that water's running, I slowly get used to the smell of that little sulfur in there, and I don't even smell it. But if I'm outside somewhere while she's taking a shower or anyone's taking a shower, and I walk in the house, as soon as I walk in, I smell it. We get used to the dark. We get used to that smell. People that lives in a house that smokes all the time, they don't even smell it. Let one get in your car. Oh, God. I want my senses to be sharp. God, help me never to stink with sin. Verse 16, it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Listen to verse 17 close now. Listen. For ye know, you know this, how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected and found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Has your time expired? Are you using it up daily, what God has called you to do? Let me ask you, in this day, are you what God has called you to be? To be. I've seen, in fact, I saw it not long ago. Someone was up here in the line praying. I know who it is. I can say who it was. Y'all was here that night. Throw a pack of cigarettes down here. See, that's what it's all about. I've been in revival services. My dad coming up, and about when they had the windows open, I've seen, man, cigarettes flying out the windows. They're preaching. Repentance. People convicted. It was their time. I ask you today, are you where you should be with God? Are you holding on to the things? Go ahead, sister. Are you holding on to the things of the world? Are you selling out for a least little old thing? Are you doing your very best to be what you can be for God? Are you using up that daily manna so that it don't begin to stink in you? Are you sweet smelling in the church today, or are you bringing a stink? You know. You know. Maybe you need a washing of the water by the word this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand just a moment. And if the Lord has dealt with you somewhere in this service, song, sometime during the preaching, God has dealt with you and said, He's talking to you. God is talking with you. I want you to get up and I want you to come. When you stand, I want you to just keep the momentum and step out and come. Are you ready? On three. Here we go. One, two, three. Come on. Come on. Stand all over His building. Come on. Step on out. Forgive me, Lord.